The Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. It is Wednesday hump day. It is 5 o'clock today. A little special lineup today because we had a whole hour with Heather Cox Richardson. Big thank you to Professor Richardson for spending so much of her very valuable, highly in demand time with us this afternoon. I know I feel a goodly bit smarter for it. I hope you agree with me. We've got a special installment, therefore, of Broad Appeal, which is a regular Wednesday segment. I'm often on my good days joined by a fabulous co-host, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, OBGYN, host of her own program. Now on the weekends, tell folks where they can listen to your show, Dr. Lyerly.
We are on WGBW and WISS, and of course on the Civic Media app, starting at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And this week, we've got a barn burner coming from the little town of Freedom. We're talking with Freedom Town Chair, who also happens to be the Outagamie County Park Supervisor, Justin Schumacher, about what is it like to be the town chair in a town of 6,000 people. It's a really eye-opening conversation, one that you don't realize you need to know, but actually you really do.
I love that. I know I'll be tuning in. Got my Saturdays have gotten very heated up. I got Amicus with Jim Santel in the morning. I might pop on that other national public radio affiliate for a little, you know, afternoon Saturday. But I've been tuning in, Chris, and I'll be very interested to hear that. Especially, do ask him some questions about his experience as a parks director. Having worked for Milwaukee County, I worked directly with our parks director, and the challenge that so many county park systems are facing. Those aren't mandated services. How do you pay for, help keep the infrastructure of your park system going, but how do you expand access to people with disabilities, trying to get an accurate count of users? So much happening in and about park systems. And in the state of Wisconsin, this is sort of an interesting example of what I wanted to talk with you about today, Kristen. In Wisconsin, we have largely, obviously, our state park system, but we have a county-based park system. We do not use independent districts. For example, in other jurisdictions, you'll see like arts districts, which are their own government entity, and they have separate taxation authorities. You'll see specific park districts that are their separate government entities, not within county governments. We have to fund them within the structures and budgets of counties here in the state, which has posed challenges to all counties, large and small. So be sure you get to dig in about some of that good nerdy stuff. I'll be listening.
Well, and you talk about some of the vision things, like making sure that they're accessible. What about when a storm comes through and a tree is down or a shelter has been damaged? They are waiting. They're looking at all of the parks across the county thinking, what's going to happen? What's in danger? Where do I need to be? So this is a huge job, and they do all of those things that we just take for granted. We're like, the park is there. You want to go play? It's so much more than that.
It really is. And on that same point, Dr. Lyerly, we're seeing more and more lawsuits across the country being brought by especially local governments against oil and gas companies because they affirmatively lied about the impact of their products on the environment. So the lawsuits have started to assert that local taxpayers are effectively being forced to subsidize oil and gas companies. Well, how would that work, you would think? Well, oil and gas companies, if they were in fact lying for decades about the impact of their products on our environment, and your environment is changing because of it, and you're having more extreme weather events, local government infrastructure, so think roads, highways, parks, docks, if they are, if the jurisdiction borders water, more flooding events, more repair. And in park systems, it's a big deal. And in fact, that increase in damage, that increase in constant expenditures because of the climate impacts and the impacts on natural resources by oil and gas companies, we, the taxpayers, subsidize all of that, which is therefore, in effect, a subsidy to oil and gas companies. So yeah, these oil and gas companies largely have enjoyed incredible subsidies from local government taxpayers in a very unique and special way. It applies on the national scale as well, but very particular to local governments. Of course, having adverse impacts on our family's overall wellness. Kristen, you are a particularly agitated about those microplastics, which are everywhere.
I am. I mean, you're talking about the big impacts in our communities that we're all paying for. What about the very small impacts in our bodies? Have you been seeing the research that's been coming out lately about the microplastics in our bodies? How it accumulates in places like our arteries, where blood has to flow, that makes it harder for us to get blood to places like our brains. This is really dangerous stuff, stuff that we hadn't anticipated, and it all goes back to oil and gas. What is the responsibility of the oil and gas industry for all of us personally, especially those of us who grew up? We didn't have oil and gas. We didn't have as much plastic when I was a kid back in the 70s. Correct. It has changed so much with all the plastic water bottles. I mean, everything's in plastic now. So my entire lifetime, since I was a kid, I've been exposed to this. I wonder how much plastic is in my body.
Yeah, it's really, really frightening. And again, if you're not familiar, you're thinking to yourself, why? What do plastics have to do with oil and gas? Plastic is made from oil and gas and crude oil reserve. It is fact, it basically like an oil byproduct. You need it to make plastics. Very hard to do anything about microplastics. It's impossible to skim for them. It's very difficult remediation, and it's everywhere. Which brings me to an interesting topic, Kristen. You and I have been thinking and talking a lot about the tariffs. If you think about plastic and how much of it there is in the world, right? A lot of this is being used to make certain consumer products very affordable. Plastic is cheap relative to other input products that could be used to make the sorts of consumer products. All of your electronics, virtually every single toy, car parts, everything that we've got, food packaging, plastic everywhere. And it's all going to be getting much more expensive because of Donald Trump's tariffs. What have you been hearing? And just as a point of fact, everyone, first quarter of 2025, we had positive GDP growth of 2.4%. In the second quarter of 2025, we're down 0.3% negative GDP growth. So something, and that's to date in the second quarter. So keep your eye on that. Kristen, what are you hearing from people in and around the Green Bay area about tariffs and the economy overall?
That they are going to have to trim their desire for dolls this Christmas. Did you hear that Donald Trump said that instead of 30 dolls, that for Christmas, they would probably just be getting two and they would pay more
be
for
more
those
expensive.
Dolls. Yes. People are worried. You know, we're not a sophisticated group up in the Green Bay area. Like, you know, we just have regular conversations as we do all over the state. People are starting to feel it. They're starting to see it, and they're starting to wonder, is this the tip of the iceberg? And it is. What I've been hearing from farmers, especially, think about all the soybeans we sell to China. And now with the tariffs, what are our farmers going to plant? This is planting season. Our farmers are itching to get out in the field. They've been planning, but they don't know if there's going to be a market. And they're already, I think 90% of what we saved in tariffs during the first Trump administration actually went to compensating farmers for lost crops due to the tariffs. What's going to happen now that the tariffs are so much more profound and the impact will be so much greater?
Well, there's this very disturbing reporting that has come out that the Trump administration cut, basically zeroed out the budget that allowed local farmers to provide food to local school districts. And here in the state of Wisconsin, we have millions of dollars of food that is literally just rotting away. And our local farmers, which it tended to help support local smaller family-owned farmers, that program's not going to be there anymore. And it was a direct link, right? From all, talk about farm to table, from farm to school lunch table, and yes, all of that gone.
It was the direct link.
Yes.
Farms don't magically grow things and then they show up in your school lunches or at your farmers markets or wherever. There has to be a supply chain, and this took that supply chain away. So now these farmers are sitting there, as you said, with all this food, and there is all this need, and it is literally just miles away. But without this program, the connection isn't there. And if they had taken the time to say, you've got a year to shore this up, maybe we could have made alternative plans. Maybe we could have figured out some different ways to do this. And that is the thing about all of these DOGE cuts. I don't think anybody would argue that it's a good idea for government to be more efficient, that there are places where we can cut. But the way to do it is not just to go in and say, all of these programs, gone. The way to do it is to say, we're watching you. We think that there's an opportunity here to make you leaner. We want you to demonstrate back to us how you can do this better. I would be totally up for that. But what's happening is people are hungry. Farmers are sitting there without the ability to do business. And every single one of us is already starting to suffer as a result of this.
Well, and the thing about Donald Trump's comments about the dolls, and this is a funny one, right? And Cal, let me know if you got the doll sound of Trump saying this about the dolls. Well, one of the things that I find super ironic about this is that what you see in these weird things that come tumbling out of the president's mouth is the Donald Trump translation of something that a smart person that knows a little bit about tariffs said to him, right? And you put it into the Donald Trump brain and out comes this weird statement. What had likely been said to him is something in the ballpark of 80 to 90% of the toys that are purchased in the United States come from where? Where, everybody? China. Right? And so, yes, you might want to say something, Mr. President, to prepare people for the fact that things are going to be more expensive and it's likely going to be quite, quite bad when we get into the holiday buying season. It will have been, even if he undid it all today, the damage is already done. The ships are already sailing, right? Like 40% empty, 50% empty. So when I think about like where you're going to see the pain points showing up for regular people, I think back to school purchases, mm-hmm, and I think holiday time, and people, mm-hmm, are really going to feel it. Kel's got the sound. Let's take a listen.
The children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls, you know, and maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally, but we're not talking about something that we have to go out of our way. They have ships that are loaded up with stuff, much of which, not all of it, but much of which we don't need.
First of all, like, just so many things there. I find it rich, and like pun intended, to have a billionaire talking about what middle class families do and don't need. Mm-hmm. Does he even know what's on boats that come from China? I don't think he does. The man has no understanding. And secondly, man, what if you were talking about manufacturing plants and not dolls? Well, we'll take two of those instead of 30, and they'll all cost more. I'm sure CEOs across the country are really happy to be hearing that. Not at all.
Not at all. And 30 dolls. Who gets 30 dolls for Christmas? My grandpa used to tell me stories about how much he cherished getting an orange in a stocking.
Yeah, right? I'll tell you who got $30 for Christmas. His daughter, right? Like Ivanka, Ivanka probably got $30 for Christmas.
Right.
So his billionaire barometer is a little off. Listen, we're going to take care of some quick business. We come back, we're going to talk about the importance of sounding like regular people, even when we're talking about tariffs and economics and politics.